Well, good morning. I'm a little shocked, I guess. Is this on? Am I coming through the deal? Okay. Just, it's such a good system, I can't hear myself. That's good. But I was a little, I'm not taken aback by it, but that Jeff believes in osmosis. Not all churches believe in osmosis. They're the osmotically positive churches, which is obviously what this is, which means there's a higher concentration of something on one side than on the other. So we won't go too far with chemistry, but I just was shocked a little bit, okay? And the fact that they don't let y'all practice down with the same level with everybody else. It's wise. Music people are, well, they believe in harmony. And harmony's not always been a big thing in church. Anyway, it's great to be with you again. Sometimes when I'm nervous, I have to kind of get used to being here, so I take a little time to do that. I'm not really nervous so much as pretty excited about the sermon I get to do today. It's called Wounds and Scars. And it has in it the text from John chapter 20. I thought that since the last time I preached here was the Sunday of the triumphal entry. Remember that Sunday? This speaker stand was up here, and the little kids came down the front and they threw the palm branches here, and then neither Jeff nor I would stand here because the children had made this such a holy space with their palm branches. And so now we've moved down so that we are a week out from what's called Ascension Sunday. We're 2 weeks out from Pentecost. And so we're in that space between the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension. Between the space between his resurrection and the day of Pentecost. And so I thought it'd be good to preach out of a text that occurs in that space. And so if you'll let me read from John chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, the day Jesus was raised, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." The crucified Lord was not resurrected fixed. He was resurrected with the marks of his suffering and of his death. We would probably think that the power of the resurrection would be of such comprehensive power that all that would get fixed. Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think that Jesus would come back, his hands smooth, his feet fine, his side healed? Wouldn't you think? But there is something in the power of wounds becoming scars that is significant in the plan of God for the risen body of Jesus. Put your finger into the wounds in my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Thomas, I don't think Thomas did that. He could see that the Lord he had known nailed to the cross was the same Lord standing before him. And so it is with the power of wounds and scars. I'm thinking that we've all been wounded. I'm a wounded guy. And some of my wounds are wounds of stupidity. Brad Cheeves, he's not one of my wounds of stupidity. He's not. But Brad walked in earlier today, and I was showing him some thing on my back. But anyway, he said, "I remember when you were preaching in Abilene that you had an injury. You were riding your bicycle." And it's true what he said. "I was riding my bicycle down through Wilhair Park, a place where some of you parked in the middle of the night and smooched. And there was a road closed sign, and I thought probably for cars. And I cruised around the road closed sign. And shortly before I hit it, I saw a cable strung across the road. And I hit it on my 10 speed, and the physics demanded that the wheel stop and the back end of the bike rotate around the front axle, and the pavement went poof. And suddenly, I was a bloody mess. And I got up and I thought, I am between two road closed signs, wounded in Wilhair Park. I've got to get out of here. So I got up and I ran across the low water crossing and into the cable that was on the other side. And again onto the ground. And finally, when I got home, I stood in front of my wife and bloody, I told her what happened. And she, in that depth of love and understanding that only wives have, said, "What does road closed mean to you?" And so I have this scar right here that, if we're talking, it will make me look somewhat interested in what you're saying. Perhaps more interested than I am. And so it is a great gift to me. Great gift. Some of our scars are not scars of stupidity. Some of them are scars of deliverance, scars of of you had a bad case of what I call something up in there. And they had to take it out. I had a gizzardectomy. I had my appendix taken out in February of 2020. They left the glossary and the maps, but the appendix they took out. And so now I have those three scars that you get when they do that, where they say they did surgery. You don't know. But I've got the scars of having something repaired, something removed that was toxic. And what I've found about scars, about wounds, is that when they become scars, they don't hurt anymore. But they have a story. They have a story. And the story is all that needs to survive your woundedness. The scar is all that needed to survive of Jesus being nailed to the cross. The wound in his side was all that needed to survive the lancing that the Roman soldier performed. Wounds survive as scars and stories. And so it makes me think that there is not only a reasonable function of scars and story in the life of Jesus, but there continues to be a ministry of scars in the life of the church. Because we are surrounded by people who have the same mind as Thomas. If I can't see how you have been healed, I'm not going to believe in the power you say healed you. Now, this runs counter to our love of being perfection and of presenting perfection. With all due respect and to the propriety of the place, there is one billboard that annoys me in this town. And maybe it annoys you. It's the one that says that there is this plastic surgeon that can turn a woman into a hot wife. And there's this picture on the billboard of some woman who must be hot because it's burned off most of her clothes. But somehow, the notion is that I should have, and it's pounded into the female psyche. Guys get to grow up ugly. Nobody seems to care. You know? Well, there's no way around it, but there's a lot of pressure on women to get fixed up. I was in the Mexican food place in Rio Dosa once, where this guy who had a sweaty farm hat on and three teeth that didn't meet in the middle of his face, and this waitress walked by and he turned to his friends and went, "She'd be all right if she'd fix herself up." Really? Really? You feel the pressure to every place you go. You look like you never hit a speed bump. You never had any acne. You never had anything that broke out that now looks like it broke in. This thing that says, every part of my life, I've got to look like I've been polished so that no blemishes are seen. I've got to be the perfect man, the perfect woman. We've got to have the perfect family. We've got to have the perfect children. We've got to be able to go on the cover of Parents Magazine at any moment. Pressure for perfection. And only the people who can talk about their perfection have a right to address the audience. I'd like to give you the 10 keys to raising the perfect family like I have. First, do not have any children. You feel that pressure? You may feel it as a Christian even, among the other Christians. They have this sense that I'm the perfect Christian. I have a tough time taking a bath. I keep walking on the water. This perfection. That I don't want to lead a prayer, but I might stumble over something. I don't want to read a scripture. I don't want to make a comment in class. I don't want to teach a class because perfection. Maybe to present the church to the community, always this perfect church. We're the perfect church, and we're all the perfect people are. And if you want to be perfect, come and be a part of the perfect church. This is what we do. Jesus didn't come back that way. He came back with the scars from the journey. And so the question is, the inventory that you make of yourself, what kind of wounds have I had in my life that the Lord God has reached down and healed? What are the places that I've been touched by the Holy Spirit and healed? What are the places that I've been ministered to in the body of Christ and I've been healed? What are the ways in which now Jesus can come into my life and say, peace be with you, and I know it's true no matter what I've already been through? How have I been wounded, and how have I been healed so that I have scars with a story? Because it's your scars with a story that are very often called into ministry. When you have the opportunity as a church, or as a family, or as a person, to gather somebody close to you and say, you know, been through some hard times. The elder that I had in Austin who could sit down with a young man and talk about when he, in his business, went bankrupt too. The person who could sit down and talk with a family and talk about the challenges of raising a special needs child. Or the sweetest moment when one of our young ladies miscarried and suddenly the women we didn't even know, 9 or 10 of them out of the church, are coming and surrounding this woman in the aisle. Sharing the fact that they were wounded in the very same way and healed. And they have a story, and they will not leave this woman abandoned in her sorrow and her grief. We have very little that we can do in ministry with our perfection, because there are so few other perfect people to reach out to. But the people who've wrestled through a difficult marriage, the people who have lived through a horrible divorce, the people who, you know, I was just looking at my phone before, well, that's what you do, you look at your phone, before church started, and on Apple News, the story was the high school where, the high school that gave us a Super Bowl winner, a World Series winner, and a winner of the Masters. And I went, well, I wonder where that could be. So does anybody here have a kid going to Highland Park who's never going to win the Super Bowl? Anybody here got a girl that's probably never going to be a cheerleader? Have you got to win the Super Bowl to be somebody here? Not in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, what you have to be somebody here. Somebody who has come to the risen Lord and seen Him standing before you like a lamb that was slain. To see the risen Lord standing before you with His hands out and His feet bare and His side open, saying, I'm real. What happened to me was real. But the resurrection was real. The healing was real. And you can step in to the circle of the resurrection of Jesus with just a step. So your homework is to inventory your scars. And you probably even need to keep the ones that indicate that you're not always bright. And you probably need to keep the ones where you've been touched in your body in a way that God has brought you to life. Or even in the way that God has touched you as you deal with something in your body that is not getting fixed. Bring into the presence and the ministry of the life of the church and the Holy Spirit, bring the fruit of the healing of the wounds of your life. Bring the stories of your scars. Let's stand and sing together.